your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips and only your word would be spoken. Open our ears and only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn in our Bibles to John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. This is page 1155 in the Red Bibles. Page 1155, John. Chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. Just to set the context for this, this is a post-resurrection experience where the disciples were up on the Sea of Galilee, and they decided to go out fishing, and they couldn't catch anything, and then Jesus shows up, and he says, well, throw your net on the other side. They do, and all of a sudden, it's so full of fish, the nets are in danger of breaking. And so then they realize that it's Jesus, and he calls them to the shore, and they basically have breakfast. Jesus fixed breakfast for them. Kind of a prelude, I would just want to share with you, this is probably the most significant scripture reading in my personal ministry that I felt led by this, which really was kind of my direction to go into ordained ministry, was this very reading, because of what I had done in my life to deny Jesus, and then for him to ask me once again, do you love me? And if you do, then feed my sheep. So this is very, very special to me, and I just appreciate being able to share that with you. So here we are, John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. He said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. This is the word of the Lord. And so we continue our theme this year of living biblically, what it means to live according to biblical principle, biblical teaching, to take those principles and those teachings and to apply them to our everyday lives. That is the challenge before us. One of the things that involves biblical living, I think, is understanding our own lives, our own world experience. And I think it's very much characterized by a monk. One time I was doing a retreat at a monastery, and one of the people asked one of the monks, he says, so what's it like to be a monk? And he said, well, let me tell you what we do. He said, we fall down and we get up. And we fall down and we get up. And we fall down and we get up again. He said, that is the life of a monk. And I thought that pretty much describes my life as well. And I suspect for many of us, it's a series of rising and falling, turning and then turning again, thinking we've got it all together, thinking finally I've got it, and then lo and behold, something happens and our faith seems to be challenged. Or like C.S. Lewis said, his faith fell apart like a house of cards. And so what is the biblical model for us? One is to look at the life of Simon Peter. Or his name is Peter, or Simon, or Cephas. All those names are applicable. Peter certainly had his ups and downs, so we want to look at his ministry and his relationship with Jesus that we might get a sense of our own person, our own lives, and our own relationship with Jesus in the ups and downs of our lives. Well, first, Peter had a lot of ups. Peter left everything, by the way, to follow Jesus. We're told that. He left wife, home, town. He left his profession. He left everything to follow Jesus. That was his dedication. Peter was the one who walked on water. Remember the story of them in the boat? And Jesus shows up, and Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, you know, let me come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." Peter gets out, and he walks on the water. Amazing. Like, wow, what faith for this guy to walk on water. When Jesus asked the disciples who they thought he was, remember he said, "Well, who do the people say I am?" And they said, "Oh, John the Baptist and Elijah." And he said, "But who do you say I am?" It was Peter who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "My Father made this known to you, Peter. This didn't just come from in you. You've heard the voice of the Father." When many of the disciples deserted Jesus, we see this in John chapter 6. Remember, he talked about, "My flesh is the bread that came down from heaven, and you'll live forever if you eat my flesh," and all that. And then some of the disciples said, "This stuff is too hard to take. Can't stand it, can't take it." And many of the disciples turned away. And Jesus turned to the disciples and he said, "So are you going to leave also?" And it was Peter who said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Wow, what a statement of faith. What an example. Peter was one of only three apostles who witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus up on the mountain. We heard his own testimony in his letter. He says, "I was there. I heard the voice of the Father. This is my beloved Son." What an experience. Peter was there. It was Peter who told Jesus, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." Remember? Talk about a strong statement of faith. Boy, doesn't get any stronger than that. Commitment. You know, people in business, and they look for commitment from employee. Boy, it doesn't get any stronger than that. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." What a strong faith. At the Last Supper, remember, he got down to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter was the one who said, "Lord, I can't let you do this. You can't wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If you don't wash you, you have no part in me." And Peter says, "Then my feet, my head, my whole body. My whole body." What a great testimony for Peter. When Jesus was arrested, one of the disciples took out their sword and tried to protect Jesus. Do you remember? That was Peter. Cut off the ear of the high priest. And Jesus had to then heal him, which is an amazing story. But you got all these soldiers around. It was a band, you know. And who was the one that tried to defend you? It was Peter. Took out his sword. Said, I'm going to protect Jesus. Took out his sword. And Jesus said, "Put it away." After Jesus was arrested, Peter was one of only two disciples. John, the other one, was younger. And said John evidently was known in the high priest's court. But the other one was Peter. Peter followed that crowd then after they arrested Jesus. Followed them right into the courtyard of the high priest. What a risky thing to do. But he did. What a brave thing to do. But he did. Peter was a true disciple. He was a person who walked with and witnessed to the majesty of the Son of God. What a great model of faith and commitment and dedication from Peter. Well, Peter also had some downs. He had lots of ups, great witness, but he also had some downs. Again, remember the idea, the account of Jesus and Peter, and calls him, and Peter's walking in the water. And I think we all know the story. What happens? He takes his eyes off the Lord, and he looks at the wind and the waves, and what happens? He starts to sink, and he cries out, "Lord, save me." So this paramount example of faith, all of a sudden, that quickly, his faith was gone, and he starts to sink in the stormy waters. How much we can relate to that. When Jesus told the disciples about his pending death, it was Peter who rebuked Jesus. Remember these statements we heard about who he's saying? Peter rebukes Jesus, says, "Lord, this is never going to happen to you." And Jesus says to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. He called him Satan, which means adversary. Get behind me, adversary. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man. The sharpest rebuke that Jesus ever gave to one of the disciples, and he gave it to Peter, because Peter had in mind the things of man, not the things of God, and he rebuked him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, it was Jesus who said to Peter, "Could you not watch with me for even 1 hour?" He tried to tell them what that night meant. And he said, "Peter, can you not watch with me 1 hour?" He said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, as we all know, despite his fervent pledges, it was Peter who denied that he even knew Jesus. Not once, but three times. He said, "I don't even know the man. I don't even know the man." After denying Jesus, Peter went out and he wept bitterly. I think it's a very interesting example for us that there were two people, primarily the two, who denied and betrayed Jesus, Peter and Judas. Judas went out and hung himself. Peter broke down and wept and repented and was restored. Peter wept bitterly, broken, shamed, the guilt, after such profound statements of faith. "Even if I have to die with you, Lord, I would never deny you." And what does he do? He denies him three times. Have we been there to deny our Lord? People talk about us looking in the Bible for models. But as I heard one author put it, we also find in the Bible not only models, but we also find mirrors. Mirrors. I think Peter is a mirror for us, our ups and our downs, the great statements of faith that we have made. And yet, how little does it take for us to have our faith challenged? I am amazed in my own life how quickly the enemy will steal my joy. Going along, my prayer life is good, things are good, I'm in the Word, and all of a sudden, some little thing happens, amazing to me. And I'm just disturbed, I'm turned upside down, I'm flustered. And my joy is gone. How easily it happens just amazes me. And so that's what Peter's life was like. The ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, the turning and the having to turn again. That was the life of Peter. And I believe that's for many of us our lives as well. Peter's relationship was one of rising and falling. Once Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned, again, strengthen your brothers." See, Jesus knew he was going to fail. So I prayed for you. I know the enemy wants to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you, Peter. And when you fail, turn again and strengthen your brother. He knew it. He knew Judas was going to betray him. He knew Peter was going to deny him three times. He says, "Peter, when you turn, believing that he would strengthen your brothers." And he did turn. He did turn. He turned again. And as we heard in our reading, not once but three times he affirmed his love for Jesus. Once for each time that he denied our Lord. "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you." So what can we learn from Peter? About ourselves, about our lives, and about our relationship with Jesus. I think one thing we can learn is humility. Humility. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, "Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." Let me read that again. "Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." What's Paul saying there? I think I'm strong. The enemy has no hold on me. And lo and behold, like I said, as C.S. Lewis, his faith fell apart like a house of cards. So be cautious about the claims that we make. You know, "I'll never deny Jesus. I'll never deny my faith. I'll never go into a situation and fail to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ." And sure enough, Time and time we may be tested and find ourselves falling short. The ups and the downs. The falling and the falling again. Let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest we fall. I think another thing we can learn from Peter is to ask ourselves three questions related to the stories that we just heard about Peter. The first one is, who do I say that Jesus is? Who do I say that Jesus is? Peter made that pronouncement, great statement of faith. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we say that. We say it every Sunday. We say it with our lips, and that is important to make that profession. But what do we say in our lives by our actions? What do we say? Who is Jesus? Well, he's a very important guy. He was a great teacher. But is he Lord of all the earth? Is he Lord of my life? What do I say by my actions about who Jesus is? That's the truth. Who do I say that Jesus is by my actions? A second question, I think. Do I set my mind on the things of man or the things of God? Remember, Jesus rebuked Peter, said, Peter, you're a hindrance to me. Why? Because you've got your mind set on the things of man, the things of earth, not on the things of God and the things of heaven. As Paul said, set our minds on things above, not things below. And again, as C.S. Lewis said, we aim for heaven, we get heaven and earth. If we aim for earth, we get neither. Isn't that great? Aim for heaven, we get heaven and earth. We aim for earth, and guess what? We get neither. We get neither. What do we have our minds set on? Where is our treasure? On earth or building up heavenly treasure? Is this sounding familiar, right? The Bible's just full of this, a very consistent teaching, and that's what Jesus is saying. Where is your mindset? Where is your treasure? Is it the things of God or the things of man? The third question, I think. Do I love Jesus more than these? That's what Jesus said to Peter. We're not sure who he's referring to, because after he made that pronouncement, Lord, if all the others fall away, I will never leave you. Now he, in a way, could be saying to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples? Remember what you said? If they all fall away, you never would. Now, of course, Peter, we know you did. Or maybe he was looking at the fish and saying, Peter, do you love me more than these? Here's a bunch of fish. This is his occupation. This is what he did in the world. Am I first in your life, or is this what's first in your life? What's the priority, Peter? Do you love me more than, you know, fill in the blank? Do you love me more than your kids? Do you love me more than your family? Do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than golf? Where am I in your place? That's God asks. And I'll tell you, God is a jealous God. He will not take second place. He must be first. Do you love me more than these? And so I came to the Lord, as I do, and say, so Lord, what do you want me to tell them? We see the ups and the downs, the turns and the turning back again, the falling, the rising up again. That is our lives. Lord, what do you want me to tell the people? He said, tell them this. The past is in the past. Past is in the past. Let it go. What's important is today. Today. Where is our relationship today? And where is it going to be from this day forward? Am I going to be second in your life or third? Or am I going to be number one? Do you love me more than these? Are you going to set your mind on the things of heaven and me, or are you going to set them on the things of earth and of man? That's the question before us today. The past is in the past. What matters today and every day hereafter? And as Jesus told Peter, someday, someone will carry us where we do not want to go. Remember that part? Where we do not want to go. That may be the cause, Jesus saying. And what he asked Peter, he then asked each and every one of us, will you still follow me? Will you still follow me? Though the storm rages on, yes, Jesus, I will put my trust in you. living the Christian life, the world of ups and downs, turns and turns again, falling and rising up and falling again and rising up again. Let go of the guilt, let go of the shame of the past. Jesus is saying, my mercies are new every single morning. Every single morning. Stick with me in the midst of the storm, and you will find life and life eternal. So I hope we can relate to Peter, his life, his challenges, but also understand that unlike Judas, Peter wept, repented, and was restored to Jesus, and then went on to be one of the great witnesses of the Christian church, because he saw that witness and he got up after he had fallen down. My hope is that that's true for us as well. By the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we find that merry-go-round. Keep our eyes focused on the Lord, who gives us all things through Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is upon us. Things are happening. The time is shorter now than when we first believed. And if we follow Jesus and make him number one in our lives, the best is yet to come. Remember, Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing, but with me, all things are possible. What a statement. And it is true. The best is yet to come. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer?